Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. So you know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to get you through the work week. And for that, we are forever grateful. If you're new here, me and Kyle have some housekeeping to do. We talk a little bit. Usually takes about 6 minutes. If you don't want to listen to that, you can skip forward to the crux of the episode. If not, feel free to hang out. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdo. Glad to have you. Thanks for tuning in again this week. Speaking of this week, we have a listener experience about a house that has a plethora of extra guests, I should say.
Oh, that's always comforting.
Not necessarily uninvited, but maybe? I don't know. We're about to find out. Before we get there, check us out at all our social medias. You know the drill. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like for us to feature on a future show, which may be changing here in a little bit, that way we can get some more listener experiences out there. Kyle's got some details for you.
I do. It's in the show notes, as always. So don't forget that. But it's going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out in as much detail as you possibly can, and then shoot it over to the email, where we will inevitably make you famous.
It's just how it works, honestly.
It really is.
Easy as that.
It is that easy.
If you'd like to support the show, there's plenty of ways you can do it. You can go over to the Patreon. Check that out. Got plenty of tiers over there. We got exclusive episodes over there. We got, what else we got? Ad-free episodes, early drop on the regular episodes. Whole bunch of stuff over there. Just go look around. It's cool. We've got the website store. You can go get some merch. HollowSkyPodcast.com. Check out the store. We got t-shirts over there. We got hats over there. All kinds of stuff. Kyle's working on a rad ass design. That should be dropping soon. If you are a Patreon member, you'll already be privy to that knowledge.
They got to pick out some extra colors on shirts, too.
Yeah, not only did they get to vote on the design, they also got to vote on an alternative color. So,
yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, they might try to throw a curveball. I know two of the colors were neck and neck on what people preferred more. So, I might try to squeeze three colors in on this shirt.
See, there's perks to the perks.
Yeah.
So, just saying. Look it up. Best thing you can do, which is free, doesn't take any time at all, and that's share the show word of mouth. Tell it to anybody who likes weird stuff, anybody who likes podcasts. Whenever we drop an episode, share it on social media. Go over to the YouTube, like, subscribe, notification bell. It takes no time. It's no money, no time, but it helps the show tremendously. You can also go to wherever you listen to our lovely voices, to podcasts, and leave us a 5-star rating and review. When I find them, I will gladly shout you out. This week's 5-star comes to us from our friend. Let me think where we were last week. Deuter McSossman? Yeah, I think so. This one comes to us from Jumbo 10. Jumbo 10 says, "You're killing it, boys. 5 stars. Don't listen to the 1-star haters. They're just jelly that they don't know how to read and do the research that you do." Did I already read that one?
It doesn't matter.
If I read it last week, Jumbo, you got 2 now. You're 2 for Jumb.
Yeah. And he stands correct.
Yeah. If you post a 1-star review, you're a fucking dork.
It's true.
That's just how it is. Just how it is.
It really is.
I like that I'm in your head enough to where you think that you need to go do a 1-star review. You fucking goofy.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, but this ain't about the haters. This is about Jumbo. Hell yeah. That's right. 5 stars. Thanks, Jumbo.
Yeah, much love.
Much love. Another way you can support the show is by supporting our wonderful sponsors, which you will hear from right now. Hey, Hollow Cult. If you've been around a minute, you've heard us talk about mood.
an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your front door. Moods found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you want. If you are new here, I'm talking about Mood.com. Mood has an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo HOLO. Forget the one-size-fits-all supplement that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood that you're looking for. Are you having trouble sleeping? Try the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies for a mind-soothing calm each night. You need an extra boost of energy, some mental focus? Try the Morning Delta 9 gummies. If you're having trouble concentrating, you need some deep focus and enhanced creativity, try the Mind Magic gummies. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. You can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood in usually as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned before, Hollow Sky listeners gets 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head over to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use our promo code HOLO when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at Mood.com. And that's promo code HOLO.
All right. Just like that, we are back. Welcome back, Hollow Cult. Hope everybody is doing good. And we are going to jump right into this listener experience. This comes to us from a member of the Hollow Cult.
Yes.
Which I didn't happen to write down. It may be anonymous, but they said they left their name. I don't know. I take it from the email and then I put it in to the filing system. Sometimes I get mixed up, but it is a Hollow Cult listener experience. So it is called Grandma's House of Revolving Ghosts.
Oh, that's gross.
Which is kind of awesome. Okay, Hollow Cult member says, "Hello, Hollow Boys and Hollow Cult. First of all, let me start by saying thank you for all the work you both put in with the podcast and creating such a supportive community. As someone who was always very interested in the paranormal from a young age, I was always very open to the vast majority of things, yet keep a healthy skeptical outlook. Personally, I find a majority of, quote, famous hauntings to be mainly BS. Growing up in Illinois, as you know, there isn't much to do if you're in a small town other than drink, only if you're legal age, of course, for legal reasons, and walk around said small town. I grew up in a town called Farmington. I no longer live there, so feel free to say my name. Or say the name, not my name, the name. So I already said Farmington, there it is. The house I spent the vast majority of my childhood in no longer stands, but it was right across a lot from the local cemetery, which my bedroom faced. It seemed like most nights when you would look out into the dark, you could see people walking around between the gravestones. Of course, all of this could be chalked up to a child having an overactive imagination, but at the time, it felt too real to be something from my imagination. But that isn't the main point of this email, just another fun little experience. As a person that's grown up and currently lives by a cemetery, I get it. I get it. It can get weird. The real story involved my grandmother's home in Canton, Illinois. Again, feel free to say the name as she no longer lives there.
I've been there.
Have I been there? I think I have too.
I've been to Canton. I've trimmed Canton before.
Yeah, I think I've been there too. To put everyone in the state of mind of what the house was like, I feel it's important to understand the house's layout. Once you walked into the home, you entered into the living room. The TV stand was in the corner of the room, so when sitting watching TV, you could see into the dining room. From the dining room, you could take a door to go upstairs where you could go into two bedrooms and a small attic space. If you would continue through the dining room into the kitchen, you'd turn left to go outside or right to go to the bathroom, or go through a doorway in order to get to the basement. My grandparents' room was accessible through the bathroom or through the living room where a French door blocked it out from the living room. Now the actual meat of the story. All the older members of my family, my mom, my aunt, my uncle, and my grandmother, would make remarks about odd happenings, but whenever the younger children, mainly myself, would ask what they meant, the conversation would suddenly end. Later on in life, I asked my mom the type of things that they had experienced. It was mainly your classic hauntings, things such as footsteps, things not being where you left them, a random whistling every so often, but nothing that ever felt threatening, so life continued as it would, just like with everyone else. After so long, my uncle, an older cousin, moved in with my grandmother. From my understanding, things continued mainly as normal, except for the random odd things that you could easily brush away. My uncle and cousin had their own rooms, one to the left and one to the right in the upstairs of the house. According to them, one night, when being just the two of them in the house, they heard a woman scream, which usually I would chalk up to simply passing by the house, but to this day, they both stand by that they heard the scream come from in between their two bedrooms. Then once again, time goes on just like everyone else. Life doesn't stop just because odd things are happening. My grandmother has a certain style of decorating her kitchen, lots of chickens, and at the time, for some reason, purple paint. This seemed to pull the classic issue of causing things to fire up heavy. Cast iron skillets that hung on the wall began to randomly be thrown. Of course, I thought this from a logical standpoint, you know, maybe they weren't hung up well and just began to slip over time before finally falling to the ground. But that wasn't the case. These cast irons were ending up halfway across the room instead of just falling to the floor. Finally, after getting tired of everything, according to my grandmother, she finally sternly said, "Listen, this is my home now. I'll decorate it how I wish. You're welcome to stay, but you won't continue acting this way." And this oddly seemed to work as things calmed down for the most part. That's pretty stout poltergeist activity, throwing cast iron pans, because they are not light.
No, that I would say that's no joke.
Yeah.
Somebody was a little pissy and throwing a temper tantrum. And they definitely got grandma's attention. I do love the fact that grandma put her foot down, like you would imagine a grandma doing, and saying, "Nuh-uh, not in my house."
Yeah.
Not happening.
I wonder if the purple paint itself, like, set off something, or if it was just changing of the house, like her decorating it her own way. Because you hear that often. Good whenever question. Someone comes into a place that has activity and they start changing things, remodeling, it kind of sparks it up. But I wonder if there's anything specifically to purple.
Maybe the previous tenant hated purple.
Could be.
And they're like, no. We cannot have this.
I like how the old school, I call it that, the old school generations just literally, like you said, put their foot down. Like, no, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
The same thing happened with my grandparents in their house. Just kind of equating stories here, but there was a lot of stuff that used to go on in my grandparents' house, and my grandpa finally got to the point where he was like, "You are no longer welcome here. We're done with it." And just the same as this, they just kind of went away. But I like that they just face it head on.
Yeah, they don't care. It doesn't matter. And I appreciate that too. I feel like in today's world, people are a little more soft, where they're like, "Oh no, what do I do?" Yeah. And back then, grandma and grandpa didn't give a shit.
No.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah. All right, jumping back into it. It's important to note my uncle lost his daughter to leukemia when she was a baby. I was only about a year old at the time, but seeing the pain on my family's faces through the years showed just how devastating it was for my family. My grandmother used to bake and decorate wedding cakes for a side hustle, which of course my fat ass was always excited about the scraps that would be left from the cakes. While working on a cake, my grandma said that someone would keep tugging on her pants and apron like a small child looking for attention, or like a small child that was looking for attention would do. Of course, she tried to ignore it and brush it off until it just became more and more persistent. Finally, she called out to the air from my uncle's daughter, which then caused her pants to be tugged on once again. My grandmother, being the person she is, asked my uncle's daughter if she wanted to go look at pretty cakes, where to this day, my grandmother still swears that she felt someone take her hand and walk into the kitchen with her. Yet once again, time just always continued on. At this point, I would be around 16, and my older cousins was still living with my grandmother at the time, so I would go spend the night and do completely legal things with my cousins. I do like the wholesomeness of it may being the spirit of the dead daughter, I guess it'd be granddaughter to the grandmother, and how she was
a terrible thing to go through.
Yeah, it's terrible. It is awful. I like how she was, you know, almost compassionate to whatever spirit was there.
Yeah.
Be it the granddaughter or not. Because if it's causing a ruckus, she put her foot down, put an end to it. But if it was just curious, she almost embraced it, you know?
Yeah, it is really wholesome knowing grandma had that feeling of a hand fitting into hers, and then like that's bizarre, man.
Yeah,
but it's awesome at the same time. Like, I can't imagine. I know that there's no comfort that'll ever be enough for that situation, but it has to be a form of comfort having that feeling.
Yeah,
you know, almost make you smile and your heart warm a little bit to that idea that your loved one is still here and they're experiencing life with you to a degree.
Yeah. And whenever she called out the name, she got a response, which is definitely makes you consider your position on the paranormal and existence after this plane of existence, I guess. So back to doing completely legal things. One night, it's just me and my cousin, just my cousin and I in the house eating dinner and watching some stupid ghost show. I brought up that I didn't think anything was in the house, and that it was probably all just simple things that could be explained off. As I said this, I was walking toward the kitchen, passing the door to go upstairs, which suddenly opened slowly on its own. I simply just wrote it off as it wasn't closed all the way, and me walking caused it to vibrate, causing it to open. Super simple. I go close the door and accidentally push it past the latch. Now, this wasn't a big deal. It was fairly common to happen, but it was a pain in the house to fix. You'd have to put all your weight into pulling on the door to get it to go back in. Well, I didn't want to deal with that at the moment, so I just left it. Went to the kitchen, and as I walked back through the open door once again, the door opened once again, which my cousin swore he hadn't messed with. So I was a bit creeped out, but I still brushed it off. So that's
classic.
That sounds familiar.
It's classic.
Just ignore it till it goes away.
That's right.
Now, I'm not certain on the time frame, since it wasn't like all this would happen one after another after another. Something would happen for a while and then it would suddenly stop. One of the major things that would always seem to happen when you would come downstairs from the bedrooms, it would sound like someone would follow you down the stairs with just a few steps behind you. This could be wrote off as the floors popping back into place in a way, but it felt rhythmic to be that simple, especially since it would only seem to happen later at night. Yeah, I don't think you can just write that off to the house settling if it only happened during the night and when you were going down the stairs. But it also sounds like something that we would say if that were happening to us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I could definitely understand the forced logic behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. You just try to make it something that you can figure out. Sometimes it seemed that the footsteps would follow you through the kitchen, or they would seem to stop a few steps behind you. This was so common that I got to the point of saying, "Stop, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be right back." And I swear the footsteps wouldn't start again until crossing the threshold from the kitchen to the dining room. My cousin claimed he would see a man in the basement when doing laundry, and it felt like he was being watched. I never personally had anything happen in the basement, but I also wouldn't go down there often enough, so who knows? My grandmother kept a spare mattress in the spare room for when another one of the grandchildren of my older cousin's friend or my older cousin's friends would want to stay over. So when I would stay, I'd drag the spare mattress into the cousin's room and sleep on the floor. One night while laying there, scrolling through my money, the door began to rattle before popping open. I thought it was odd, but again, I try to write most things off. I get up, close the door, and lay back down. Simple as that. Well, after a few moments, the door pops back open again. So I'm thinking, the latch is messed up. So I put the mattress against the door to help keep it closed and go about my night. Now, the doorknobs were these older, black, shiny knobs. Hopefully you know what I'm talking about so I don't sound like a moron. Well, laying there, I could see the doorknob begin to rotate slowly back and forth. At that point, me being who I am, I decided to say something smartass, like, "Oh, guess you're not opening it now." And I swear, right after saying this, the closet door opens on its own. This didn't feel threatening. This didn't feel threatening or anything, more like a joke, like someone being like, "Oh yeah, watch this." We just laughed about it, shut the door, and went on with the night. I mean, what the hell else am I supposed to do, honestly? I like that it's almost got a playful demeanor. Throwing the cast iron pots isn't that playful, but the curious little ghost in the kitchen and this one messing with the doors back and forth and almost responding to the communication that they have, like walking down the stairs, "I'll be right back," and then it doesn't follow them. And then
it is like there's a level of respect there,
care
or compassion or whatever it may be, because you would think if it was a malicious spirit it wouldn't give a shit.
No, and
you would think that it would get more angry if, you know, like, "Ha ha, you're not opening the door now, bud."
Then it just throws the mattress.
Yeah, I was expecting the door to like try to jam open, like somebody kick it.
Yeah, yeah, it is like a interesting, respect is a good word for it.
It's strange. It's strange that there's rapport there.
Yeah.
There's a connection there. It's hard to like fathom. You know, you're just fucking chilling with ghosts.
Yeah, just two planes of existence, like existing within one another.
And then they're both okay with each other. They're just like, you know, hang out.
The odd happenings in the house would seem to almost evolve what was originally just footsteps. Became kids running up and down the stairway or being in the spare bedroom laughing. Then one night, once again, I'm staying at my grandmother's, laying on the spare mattress in my cousin's bedroom relaxing. It was late at night, and at this point, we heard the kids start to laugh. And by this time, it was just whatever. It would just happen. You would turn up the TV and ignore it. That was until, from the spare bedroom, you began to hear kids jumping up and down on the mattress. You know, the spare one that I'm currently laying on in a separate room from the noise. Now, is a ghost mattress a thing? Are the ghosts just making noise that we would recognize? Or were we somehow just having the same auditory hallucination? That's weird. Hearing them jump up and down on the mattress that isn't there.
Yeah, that makes it sound residual. And further that point, it makes you wonder what the fuck happened in that house. Because now if you're reporting more than one child ghost, I have questions.
It almost makes you think like it's a dimension slip or a timeline slip that you have, almost like the others. Like you have two planes of existence existing at the same time.
Yeah.
Just outside of each other's like peripherals. My older cousin had a large pit bull at the time named Parker. who was the sweetest dog I'd probably ever been around. While trying to clean out the attic one day, Parker got in between my grandmother and began to growl at the opposite end of the attic and started to push her out of the room. Now, this dog wouldn't ever growl unless he felt like someone wasn't right. Otherwise, he loved everyone. The show Ghost Files did an episode in Canton where supposedly an old woman who passed near my grandmother's home at the time had dementia and would wander between the houses in the area. Who knows if any of that is true or not? I just thought it was a fun little thing to add. After my grandparents moved out of the home and into their current home, some people my older cousins knew at the time moved in, and that's when things started to feel aggressive. At this point in time, it was my cousin L and C, I won't use their real names just to be respectful. Now, L was, for the most part, a decent dude. He had his moments just like anyone else. C, on the other hand, wasn't right mentally, and I don't know what exactly it was, but he had serious issues. At first, things were fine in the house, just every day living every so often, the odd thing happening, but nothing new, really. Now, C had moved into my grandparents' old bedroom with the French doors, and in the bottom left glass pane, suddenly one day, a face appeared, and it never went away. Now, I understand there was a thing where the brain will look for patterns, but everyone who looked at it right away said it was a face. I can't really describe the face, as it didn't have any special traits other than being twisted, and it wasn't right. It felt angry, almost painful. The energy in the house became more aggressive, with both the phenomena and the people in the house. It was constant fighting between everyone, which just became more and more aggressive until a firearm was pulled out one night. As for me, though, the big thing that sent it all over the top happened one night when it was only Parker and I in the house. They had kept the same layout of the house as my grandparents. When it came to the TV being in the corner of the room and the couches facing where you could see into the dining room, and most of the kitchen. As I'm watching TV, eating dinner, out of the corner of my eye, I see a black silhouette lean out from the doorway of the kitchen and into the dining room. Something about it made my body freeze. It felt like it was just staring at me with hate, and everything in my body said not to look. So I didn't. I tried to ignore it, where it just sat there. Well, during this time, Parker was next to me on the couch when I noticed him freeze when he looked over at the black silhouette. Quickly back to me, almost as if to confirm what he was seeing. And that's where I finally said, screw it. Without looking up, I put on my shoes, put Parker on his leash, and I walked out the door. That was the last time I stayed in that house, not long after my cousins moved out of the house, along with C. I don't know if C still lives there or not. I wonder if C or whoever lives there now has had any weird happenings. Supposedly, the original owner of the home was highly abusive and ended up murdering his wife and children in the attic space, but I'm unaware of how true that actually is.
That makes a lot of sense.
Kyle had it on the head. My family.
I was literally going to ask, were a bunch of kids killed there, or was there like a pandemic or something, you know, where like a outbreak of something that kind of fell onto the family and created some deaths in the house. But
yeah,
because at first it almost seemed like the house was changing with the demeanor of the inhabitants. But then it was like they got to a point where they ventured into the attic and stumbled across something a little more sinister.
Yeah, like, and then it kind of opened itself up.
Yeah, it's almost like it made, like, that sinister being was, whether it be held there or just kind of dormant there. And then once new, fresh meat, so to speak, appears, it's like, oh, all right.
Yeah, and it almost seems like it fed off the energy that was being put into the house, too, because when it was the grandparents there, I feel like it was probably pretty docile. You know, you just had a bunch of grandkids running around, having a good time. And for the most part, it seemed like that energy wasn't negative. The pot throwing, a little bit negative, obviously, but that could also be attributed to changing the interior of the kitchen, which is kind of a common ghost trope, as we've talked about. but it seemed like it really sparked up. Like Kyle said, after the attic was kind of messed with, but also after the problematic, for lack of a better term, person moved in with the cousin. So it's like once that negative energy was kind of put out there, then the negative energy took over.
Yeah, maybe, maybe in a weird way, it made each side stronger. You know, whenever the love side was there, it kind of gave that aspect of the family a little more strength. And when the negative side was there, it kind of fed that. And it almost, in a weird way, it almost feels like, almost like a residual, but like an interactive residual. Because it, I feel like it also may have played out the way the family would have died. Because it couldn't, I would like to tell myself, and I know there's variables, but I'd like to tell myself that at one point, the original family that, you know, may or may not have been murdered was a decent family. Mm. And then over time, things eroded and kind of obviously went south.
Yeah.
But it kind of plays out the same way historically for grandma and them. Like there was just a lot of, aside from the, you know, the pots being thrown, like you said, but there's a lot of playfulness. There's a lot of mindfulness. And then it kind of gradually proceeds into a more and more hostile environment.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it could be partially residual, like from the children playing in the bedroom was probably a common occurrence in that house when that other family lived there.
Right.
I think that really hit it there. They finish it off with, my family, including myself, have had a few more weird experiences, but nothing truly noteworthy. I'm sorry if this is all over the place, as it's been quite some time since all of this has happened. Anyway, thank you guys for everything that you do with the podcast and the community that you've built. They do put their name, but they ask that it not be read. So it's probably a good thing I didn't have that in the first part. Very interesting set of circumstances there.
Yeah.
I like,
because the story does make you feel a bunch of different ways. Like it also, you know, prior the family insert there, like I almost wondered if there was some type of portal there.
Yeah.
You know, because it just seemed like there was clearly different entities hanging out in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, because that was kind of where my brain was going. I was going to ask the history of the home. Obviously, that's the first question you ask when you have weird encounters like that. But then when he came out and said there were rumors that a man had murdered his family there, that kind of makes sense. That trauma seems to kind of lock energy in to places like that where the bad shit happened. So it kind of lines up.
It does. It's a weird, I don't know, it's a weird series of events. Like I said, it even makes it weirder, like, and you pointed it out, how when the kind of more bad person comes into the home, it ramps up the rage side of the equation and makes it worse. And I don't, in my findings, because I do have, whether I want to admit it or not, I do have strange things that happen around my home. I don't know that I'm forever sold, and I get your experience in this is different than mine. I'm not sure that every shadow person is negative.
Oh, I am not sold on that either, actually, because that's the prominent thing I see in my house, and it's that specific entity, whatever you want to call it, be it residual, be it whatever, has never felt malevolent to me. It almost just feels like a coexistence.
Yeah.
See it out of the corner of my eye. It's never done anything to warrant any kind of alarm. You know, it's never like popped out at me. It's always just the same shit, different day, you know?
It is an ironic story to have on the show right now because, you know, we really haven't talked about it on air, but I have been seeing stuff around my house. But the reason why I say all that is because I've actually been pondering a lot here lately about something that was kind of said in the story here about how, like, even though these more negative people, cousins, or one of them was more negative, moved into the house, they made the comment that the emotions, the negative emotions in the house always also ramped up, which makes you think of, you know, instantly your brain kind of wants to go to like an oppression situation. And we usually hear oppression in alignment with demon. But it's weird because I've actually been pondering a lot lately about oppression in myself, because, and I'm sure everybody goes through these cycles, and that's what makes it so hard to kind of lock down. But sometimes, I'm not a genius, but I'm smart enough to realize things. And sometimes I catch myself getting mad at literally the stupidest shit ever, where it just like, and it's not like an agitation, it's a full-blown inside, it's chaos inside me. You know, I'm holding it together, I'm not really letting it snap out, but it's just pure fucking chaos inside, where that little bitty thing has completely pissed me off, where I just want to go nuclear. And then I also have a problem with, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I have a problem with sometimes, somehow, a little sliver of a negative thought will embed itself into my brain and then just runs like wildfire and I cannot control it. And that little negative thought couldn't be any further from the truth. Truth is not even relevant in that situation. But that one sliver of negativity gets into my head and it just blooms.
Just lays completely eggs in there.
Oh, dude, it just completely overpowers everything. And which brings me to the question of oppression. You know, I don't know that I'm sold that means that I'm forever oppressed. Like I have a demonic entity latched to me and it's just constantly pumping me full of bullshit. Is there like periodic oppression where things try you? They come in and they try to crack the shell, because usually in those moments where I have that ever blooming negativity in my brain, I kind of force myself to push it away, and it takes a while to like get it away. But I have to keep telling myself like, no, 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 don't stop, stop, stop. You got to quit doing this. Can't do this.
I get that way too sometimes, where it's not aggressive, but I get in a headspace where the tiniest little thing will just set me off and just ruin my whole day. It could be something as easy as just driving to work and someone driving like an idiot. Literally like 30 seconds out of my day has just ruined my whole day. Just crushed my demeanor. Which it makes, the way you describe it, it makes me wonder if these entities cause those little things to be planted in your head, or if they notice when they're planted in your head and they're the things that make them exponentially worse. They're what just carve that into your brain to where that's the only thing you're thinking about. And then it just, like you said, blooms is the best word. It just like the seed was planted and then something watered it and nurtured it into just being the only thing you can think about for the next week, you know?
Well, and it gets so bad. like in some cases where my brain will self-sabotage and self-fabricate explanations to whatever's got me going. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to think of an example.
It's like, almost about validation, like fake validation.
Yeah, yeah. Because, like, let's just say, you know, and this is all theoretical. It's not reality, so don't think there's a hidden message. But let's just say that you said something about me that wasn't negative, but for some reason, my brain reanalyzes that conversation you had with somebody, and then that sliver gets inserted like, oh, well, I didn't hear all that conversation. What if Steve was actually alluding to that I'm a fucking lazy turd? You know what I mean? And then my brain will start adding pieces to that puzzle to convince myself that that is what happened.
Yep.
And then at the end of it, when you finally break free from that prison and you realize, you're like, what the fuck? You know what? What caused my brain to convince it's like a self-sabotage technique, you know, where, because essentially if you bought into it, and I'm sure people do, like, I could completely obliterate our friendship over something that did not fucking happen.
Yeah. It's like a self-confirmation bias, you know?
Yeah.
And you start hyper-analyzing things and putting things that aren't even relevant into the explanation, like, well, yes. Well, what about this? Well, yep. Well, this happened. What about this? And it just, I get it. It just spirals and spirals and spirals.
And I want to, like, and that's why I brought it up, because I want, like, it got to the point where I was talking to my wife about it. I'm like, sometimes I wonder, I know it sounds crazy, but sometimes I wonder if, like, I'm oppressed once in a while, or, you know, something will just ignite whatever's in my brain, just, you know, make it bloom and take over and just control every aspect of my brain. Cause it'll, if I'm not careful, it'll put me in a dark place where I'm not a communicative person anymore. I'm not happy. I want to be left alone. I want to isolate, which sounds very demonic and purposeful now that you kind of sit back and psychoanalyze the environment there. And, you know, thankfully I'm aware of myself enough to be like, to kind of self-correct and get off that course. But I'm not a person, that's what's bad about me, is I'm not a person that can auto-correct instantaneously. It takes me a while to get back to, like, to zero. And you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I cannot go from, like, being depressed and angry to happy in 3 seconds. It cannot be done for me.
Yeah. And you essentially are just undoing all the shit that you just convinced yourself of.
Yes.
Which isn't easy.
No,
it's not a flip of a switch and like, oh, all that shit I just made up, you know?
And it's weird, man. Cause like, I don't understand. Cause genuinely, normally I'm a happy person. But out of nowhere, you'll get these moments where that plague enters your brain, and it is a fucking prison, man. An absolute prison full of fucking torment. Yeah. And the shitty part is you're doing it to yourself.
Yeah, it's hard to drag yourself out of there, too.
Yeah, because, like, realistically, if you were to analyze you and me, I have no desire to self-sabotage. I think that you and I deserve where we are, and maybe more. Like, I have no desire to sabotage my marriage or my children or my work or this or that or that or this. And, you know, it's almost like there are moments in life where and I know everybody has those dark thoughts once in a while, you know, of all of a sudden you're just driving down the road and then you have this flash of extreme violence or doing something absolutely heinous and you're like, where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah. I think this is the realm of the phenomenon we don't delve into a lot, but when we do, there's almost always some sort of confirmation that a lot of whatever these entities are do either feed off of or manipulate our emotions, which lines directly up with them being able to do that, you know?
I never really thought about it like that, but it almost is. If you were to sit down and be like, well, this is the, we'll call it the feeder hypothesis, I could definitely understand the angle that they would feed off our negativity by being able to manipulate raw emotion in your mental stability. Like that, I could see that being powerful because I know how powerful it is in my head.
Yeah, it's what makes us human is our emotions.
Yeah.
And if they can tap into that and manipulate that, that, like you said, that's something.
It's actually really scary, you know, because like I said, I know how bad it'll get in my head. It'll be a fucking war zone in there. Like it'll be the darkest place ever imaginable. And how people handle it on the outside will add to the fire or put it out. You know, because my wife is usually, I always tell her, I'm like, you're the one that can drag me back. You've got to be that for me. Because we've talked about it. You know, it's come up in our relationship where we've talked about my, you know, fucking imprisonment in my mind. And I've told her, I'm like, you, and it's not fair to like put on you, but I'm asking you, because she knows when my brain's doing it. She can just, I don't know. There's some type of aura that gets pumped off of me where she can read it. And I'm like, when you do, I'm not going to admit it. I never do because I don't want you to have to take care of me. But I'm like, I'm asking you now when I'm have a clear mind, drag me out of that place. Don't let me consume myself because I will. I will absolutely consume myself. You have to drag me out.
Yeah.
And it's a heavy weight for her. You know, that's not fair, but kind of is what it is.
Sometimes you got to have a lifeline, man.
You really do. Because like I said, we've talked about it before, you know, loosely here and there on the show. But, you know, so for anybody else out there, believe me, there's motherfuckers in the trenches with you because our brains do it too. Whether it's oppression or just our own failure, so to speak, our own, you know, broken mechanism inside our brains.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Our brains is probably the hardest place to drag yourself out of is when you get in your own head. Mm-hmm. Because it's supposed to be someplace that's familiar, someplace you're safe. You get in there and you start manifesting thoughts that just feed into that fire. And before you know it, it's beyond your control.
Yep. And then, you know, to walk down that lane further, it also makes you wonder about, you know, doctors getting that right. Because I'm sure there are doctors out there that would be like, well, Kyle and Steve, you're fucking bipolar, you're schizophrenic, you're this, you're that, whatever mental, you know, whatever they want to diagnose us with. And in my head, it's like, well, how do you know that's what's actually going on? How do we know it's not oppression? How do we know we're not being influenced daily? You know, there's things beyond the veil, which is a shit thought, that there's things on the other side of the veil that every day are testing your armor for fucking little chinks in it, just trying to weasel its way in like fucking parasites.
Yeah, because you see it, especially you look into the phenomena and into things of that nature, these negative entities prosper when their hosts are at their worst.
Yeah.
They get in there, they're already, look at all of the hauntings or all the possession cases that we've covered. They almost all start at a point where the victim, so to speak, is at a terrible spot in their life.
That's true.
And it may start out okay, low key, regular haunting stuff, but watch how fast they spiral. Just it's like as their life stuff stacks up, so does this paranormal emotional parasite that has a hold on them.
Which also makes you, if you know, let's say that's your hypothesis, that's your theory, that also makes you wonder, when does the infection, so to speak, actually take place then? Because who's to say, you're right now, we're registering it as when Kyle's at an all-time low, that's when this negative entity latches in. How do we know that the entity isn't
already there?
The entity isn't what got us to that low in the first place, and that low is like your immune system now is weak enough for it to actually dive in.
I knew that's where you're going when you started.
Take control.
Yeah. I don't know. Parasite's the best word I can use for it.
Oh yeah.
Cause it's just waiting to latch. They just wait to latch in unless they're already there, you know? And could they be dormant? Could they have happened at a different low point in your life that you pulled yourself out of and they've just been sitting in there just waiting? Like, come on. There's some bad shit right around the corner. All you got to do is let it get in your head and then I'm in your head.
Yep. And then it makes you wonder, you know, if that's the case, is there a yang to it, so to speak? Is there the opposite? Is there the immune booster, the parasite riddance?
Yeah. I feel
is there something out there that kind of bubbles up your good emotions and keeps you on that high for a little while and keeps you spinning?
I almost feel like there has to be.
That's the way I feel, man. There's like everything is a yin and yang. I don't think I'll ever believe that it's just all negative or all good.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I get a lot of flack about being the all things are bad kind of guy, but I do think that there has to be good to outweigh to balance out the negative. Like that's been a trope for as long as human consciousness has been a trope. If you have an angel on this shoulder, you're going to have a devil on this shoulder, and the other way around. Like there has to be good there. I think we just hear a lot about the negative because it makes for better stories. There are stories that have positive encounters, you know. But they're not as much as the negative when it comes.
Because I don't think we ponder the positive more as much as the negative.
No.
Because like when you're 100% good, correct. When you're good, like you're just sailing, bud. Just like life is good, man. Life is good, you know. And you're not like your brain isn't processing like we do when we're in that shit state. Cause when we're in that shit state, it's like we want to figure out a corrective method to get us the fuck away from the shit state and not have it happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. You hit me on the head. People don't dwell on the good because it's good.
Exactly.
You know, things are going 100%. I'm not going to try to find out a reason for it. I'm just going to roll with it because things are great.
Exactly. It's kind of like the same analogy as we've talked about with people like making deals with the Fae and shit. You don't hear a lot about the good deals with the Fae. You hear about sideways. The fuck ups. Yeah, you hear about the fuck ups.
Until they go sideways, which it's funny that you bring up the Fae because I've noticed I have a lot more forks now.
That's weird.
A lot of forks.
That's weird, dude.
It's fucking weird, bro. I was doing the dishes and I was
taking
them out of the dishwasher and I'm putting them in my drawer and I'm like, I am one person that lives in this house. What the fuck do I got 28 forks for? I remember when I had three. How the fuck did I get 28 forks?
Dude, that's crazy.
I don't even buy silverware.
Most people don't. Most people buy one set and they just have it forever. That's fucking awesome.
That's weird.
Maybe the homies, the gnomies, and that are coming around, they're like, you know what? We fuck with these guys.
Yeah, I heard them running on the roof the other day. So
yeah, we fuck with these guys.
They're knocking on my patio door the other day.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Steve his forks back.
I'll probably talk about it on the night shift. But anyway, Hollow Cult. That took a tangent there at the end.
Yeah,
we got a little philosophical.
We got there though.
Mental health philosophical. Hollow Cult member, you know who you are. You are in the Discord that put this experience out there. We appreciate you for taking the time to write this down. Very interesting. Very interesting case. And it got our brains working on how the negative affects us and how some of these entities, it affects them, essentially, for lack of a better term, you know. It's definitely a good conversation starter.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. Other members of the Hollow Cult, listeners, if you have a paranormal experience, voice note that shit to us, because we got a thing we're putting together. And voice notes, as you heard me stumble through reading this, I feel like it's a lot more meaningful for the community to hear it in your own words. Just talking to your phone like you're talking on your phone. Voice note it. Email it over. Bada bing, bada boom. Easy as that. You're famous. But yeah, to the Hollow Cult member that submitted this, thank you. To the rest of the Hollow Cult, we appreciate you for hanging out with us this Monday. Hope you have a wonderful and safe week. Till we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and if you got ghosts in your house, just try to bring some positive energy in there. Positivity. Maybe they'll put it back toward you. Maybe you'll get your forks back. I don't know.